Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Do you need heavy equipment or farm equipment? Look no further than Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel. We have a wide selection of new and used equipment from many top brands. We also offer parts, service, and rentals. Whether you're a contractor, farmer, or just need help around the house, we have what you need. Southern Equipment is your one-stop shop for all farm and heavy equipment. Visit us at 5237 Highway 84 West and southernequipparts.com or call 601-651-4555.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, Golden Eagle fans, listen across the state of Mississippi. It's the Eagle Hour, and it is a Thursday, one day from Southern Miss taking on Middle Tennessee over the weekend. Not good last night. We'll kind of break that one down, and we'll have a good show for you today. Patrick McGee moving from his regular scheduled Wednesday. He'll be joining a second segment, and then talking a little e-gaming from Southern Miss. Big stuff coming out of the e-gaming community on the campus of Southern Miss, and we'll be talking with those Eagles coming up a little later in the show. Bob out today, so Luke Johnson, Kelly Sander from the First Bank Studios in Hattiesburg, and beautiful downtown Laurel, Brandon producing for us in Hattiesburg. First segment brought to you by Dickie's Barbecue. Every day is a good day to get something at Dickie's. Some of the best barbecue in the world. Great meat smoked every single day. They can also cater your next event. So Dickie's Barbecue, as we hit the summer, be thinking of Dickie's. Dickie's cooked here, loved everywhere. Well, the way that we're going to begin Eagle Hour today, it is the morning after. And Kelly on air yesterday at D1 training talked about how it was the revenge of the 5th yesterday after May the 4th. And I just want to tell you that it is the morning after the 5-2 Luke Johnson 40 time at D1 training yesterday. Great time. Great with him. But Kelly Sander, I am feeling it, not just this morning. I felt it at lunch, and now on the Eagle Hour, I am still feeling it.
The old gray mare just ain't what he used to be. Ain't what he used to be. So do you still have the ice on your quad, or what's going on? Are you standing now, or are you still in a prone position this morning?
I'm sitting, but yeah. So yesterday I got back, and you know, I got back to the house later on. I didn't do my normal run yesterday, and I was like, I was feeling chipper, you know. I called a couple buddies, and of course, everybody that heard about the 5-2-40 was shocked beyond belief. Actually, nobody really believed that I was going to break 6, including myself. So when I got back home, you know, I started walking up the stairs at the house, I was like, something's jacked up with my knee. What is going on? And so then last night, I wake up about 2:30, and I know this feeling because I've had ACL reconstruction on my left leg when I was at Southern Miss, and don't ask me how a punter does it, but in the spring game, I tore my MCL. So I remember when knees swell, and I've had, you know, surgery on a knee, and I got that warm feeling, Kelly, when the leg starts to when you have swelling. So, man, I'm wide awake at 3:00 this morning reading about, like, torn PCL and torn meniscus. And I'm like, oh, here goes my summer. And, oh, this is terrible. And so just worst case scenarios going through my mind. Because I don't know if I said this yesterday because I think I was out of breath. I had a little pop, a little tingle in that first one. And then I was a stupid idiot and ran the second one. So anyway, we got it checked out this morning. Happy to report it is a very, very low hamstring pull. That's why my knee is swole up. Ligaments are good. Meniscus is good, Kelly Sander. And in a week, I'll should be back to normal. But I am going to retire on my 5-2-40.
I think that's probably wise, Luke. And for the record, listeners, when Luke got the bill from the doctor's office, he felt that tingling again. because that stuff isn't cheap to get it all, you know, figured out. But we're glad you're in one piece, and the Eagles have got to regroup now, Luke, after the Southeastern Louisiana Lions come to town, the second place finishers in the Southland Conference. Really good baseball team whose record was nearly equal to that of Southern Miss, coached by Matt Reiser out of Picayune. The Lions are a good baseball team and came in here and took one last night from the Eagles.
You just scratch your head. You come off a 3-1 weekend, and the Eagles lay another egg in the midweek. We're 1-5 this year. Of course, three of those losses are to South Alabama. Southeastern, we talked about, they were a top 60 RPI team, 59 going into this game. And Eagles went Johnny Holstaff. And I really thought, you know, watching how Waldrop did to lead it off, was that, maybe it was Wehunt that led it off. And, man, he had his breaking ball working. He was hitting 94, 95, looked really good. And then we take him out after an inning, and it felt like they should have kept him in a little bit. Eagles got in trouble in the third. Matt Adams gave up three runs, walked some guys, and they put three across. And Eagles kind of do what they've done all year, Kelly. They got back in the game in the bottom of the fifth. They were trailing 4-0. Montenegro hits a shot down the right field line and gets back in the game. Second home run of the year for Gabe. And then Ock gave up a solo blast in the top of the ninth. But really the story of the game on a Johnny Holstaff side from Southeastern Louisiana, because the Lions last night, they threw seven pitchers. Eagles got three hits. Count them. Three hits. They left only four on base, and I'll get into that in just a minute. But, yeah, Kelly, I mean, what's the approach midweek after you play so many games over the weekend that might cause this?
Boy, that's the $64,000 question, isn't it? You know, going in, as much as everybody kind of beats that dead horse that the Eagles just haven't been able to win a midweek game, you know, the guys are human beings too. And they are certainly acutely aware that they have not been too successful during midweek. And, again, don't discount the caliber of the teams that they've been playing, you know, midweek. But when the Eagles have struggled this year, they've never struggled with pitching. It's been inconsistency at the plate, although they have been more consistent lately. And as well as this team has performed, let me ask you a question. And we'd have to look at the statistics and really peel them back and look at them. But has Will McGillis ever had a slump like he's in now? Will McGillis is just, I mean, gosh, this is really rough. You take a player like him who's been a key player in the past, struggling at the plate, but yet the Eagles are still winning a large majority of their games. So on the plus side, you have to look at that.
Yeah, McGillis 0 for 3 last night. He did score a run, I believe, on the it was on the home run by Montenegro. But he's hitting 186. He's really he's the only starter that's sub 200. Christopher Sargent, I think teams have figured out now that he struggles on the breaking pitch, but we kind of saw some of the same stuff. Eagles had a chance, no outs, men on second and third, and what do? They don't get anybody to cross the plate. I did some little research this morning on a couple fronts because I've been curious about a few things. And last night, Eagles only got runs off a home run. Kelly, I did some research. Eagles have scored 253 runs on the year. 94 of those have come on home runs. So 37% of their runs have come off the long ball. Before I get to the other stat, your take on that?
I think that's what sells tickets these days is the home run hitters. The problem with home run hitters, and we're not picking on anybody specifically, this is home run hitters in general. If they don't hit a home run, what do they usually do? They strike out.
Walker strike out.
Yeah, one of the two. And you know, you're hoping for that home run. So, you know, and there's many, many ways to build a winning team. And obviously, Scott Barry's done a good job of it over the years. If I were a college guy, and again, I've never coached a college game in my life, but I like those singles and doubles hitters. I don't necessarily want the home run guy because as a opposing team, I can take the bat out of the home run hitter's hand by throwing four straight pitches. Right, and putting him on, but if you have singles and doubles hitters all the way up and down the line, I can move people, you know, with hit and runs. There's just so many different ways to score runs when you have the Punch and Judy singles and doubles guys rather than those home run hitters. Now the home run hitters, the kids love the home runs. The home run hitter is always the first guy to get the autograph and so on and so forth. But too many strikeouts with home run hitters for my book, and that's. That's just the way it is. Again, they've been very successful the way they've been doing it. I just would do it a different way myself.
Yeah, and the other statistic that I looked up was how many ball, I mean, how many runners the Eagles have left on base. They left four last night, but Eagles have, in their 44 games, they're leaving an average, just an average, 7.6 runners on base a game. In their losses, they're leaving 7.9, so right at 8. So obviously leaving a little more. But, you know, you think about that, and you would look at this team with that the percentage I threw out, 37% of all runs or home runs, and you would say, okay, they're not playing small ball. But, Kelly, to your point, they are, in some sense, getting people on base, so there is a small ball element of that. They just can't get the right hit at the right time to plate these runners. 8 a game they're leaving on base.
Yeah, there's batting for average and then batting with runners in scoring position. Two completely different statistics. So they aren't getting the key hits at the right time. And really, the 7 on base is not a gross number. I mean, it's not really, really high. It might be a little bit on the high side, but it's not anything. It's kind of like your blood pressure. It's normal, but it's shading toward the high side. So I'm not panicked by that number. But usually, again, with the home runs come the strikeouts. And Southern Miss has spent a lot of money, figuratively and literally, on pitchers. They've got some great pitchers. I'm sure looking at their recruiting board, some sticks are up there that are slowly moving maybe to the higher of the list.
Yeah, Montenegro last night, 1-for-4. He had one of the hits. Fisher, 1-for-4. And Lynch had the other hit. Hey, we're going to step away. Patrick McGee from the Biloxi Sun-Herald will get his take on southeastern Louisiana and then look forward to Middle Tennessee coming up tomorrow and this weekend from the Pete. Eagle Hour continues. Don't go anywhere.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Eagle Hour continues on a sunny Thursday in South Mississippi. Luke Johnson from the First Bank Studios in downtown Laurel. Kelly and Brandon in Hattiesburg at the First Bank Studios. Bob out today. He'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll be down at Ramey Motors in Purvis. Everybody's man card is accepted down there. If you're in the area, come by. Give us a fist bump, and we'd love to see you down at Ramey Motors tomorrow. Second segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by Campus Bookmark, located on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg, or online. You can shop 24/7, campusbookmark.net, the place to go. Everybody needs a new hat, and even a baseball jersey, even if it's late in the season, last home series tomorrow coming in, Middle Tennessee coming in, opportunity to cheer on the Eagles. Go get you some swag on Hardy Street at Campus Bookmart. Patrick McGee from the Biloxi Sun-Herald joins us on this Thursday. We'll talk a little more baseball. Patrick, I want to throw out three statistics to you and just kind of get maybe the one that concerns you the most, and I'll repeat these to you if you need me to. Eagles so far on the season are getting 37% of their runs from home runs. They are batting 161 midweek, and they're averaging leaving 7.7 runners a game on base. Which one of those concerns you the most heading down the stretch in the season?
The midweek deal is weird, but that doesn't always indicate how a team would do in the postseason. I guess it would be the 7.7 runners left on base per game. That's the one. They got three hits, three runs last night against Southeastern in midweek play, and that's just really, I know Scott Berry's got to be extremely frustrated that his guys haven't been able to hit midweek pitching all that well all season. And, you know, and part of that is, you know, everybody's got deeper pitching staffs this year, a lot of guys back, but still, I mean, if you're going to hit the baseball, that's when you're supposed to hit it. Those midweek games are supposed to be kind of a little bit ugly, and everybody scores runs. So the hitting has been really inconsistent all season. The pitching has been very good, but it's just not going to dominate night in, night out. So Once you get to the postseason, you got to bring guys in. And if you're leaving eight guys on base every game, of it, that's going to catch up with you pretty quick.
Yeah. Eagles 29-15 now. They dropped to 23rd and are 22nd in Warren Nolan. They're 23rd in D1 baseball. Patrick, you know, I feel like the four game weekend series kind of helps the Eagles because when they go to a regional, they've kind of navigated through that the second half of the season. At the same token, we've seen them come out and play awesome and then lay an egg, and I guess going into regional season, that kind of scares you as well.
Yeah, they're not really kind of if you're Scott Barry, you hope you kind of have a new peak coming your way. You hope you didn't peak too early. Played pretty well off and on. Haven't really pieced together. I mean, there's been times we've seen Southern Miss win 10, 11, 12 games in a row. That really hasn't happened this season. So if you're Southern Miss, you're hoping that big win streak's right around the corner. So it's got to come together really in all facets, whether it's, you know, hitting the baseball, with defense, pitching, all the bases. They got to do everything well at this point because there's a bunch of good baseball teams out there this year. Just in Conference USA, if they were looking at which teams deserve to host, you'd probably be Louisiana Tech, then Charlotte, then Old Dominion, then Southern Miss. That tells you how deep Conference USA is this season, and they can't take Middle Tennessee for granted this year. So Southern Miss has really got to find that recipe pretty quickly at the plate, or it's going to be you go into the conference tournament, you know, hoping that you play well and maintain that kind of two seed. You can't really afford to trip up right now against Middle Tennessee. Then you have that little gap in the conference tournament. I know they'll play a couple of games, I think FIU or something. Now's a good time to get it all figured out.
But you guys, it's one game. It's one game they lost to against a pretty good team. I mean, premature panic button here. I think
they've lost all the games in midweek, all but one game.
Yes, but I mean the last couple of weekends to games that have really counted, they've performed well. And I'm playing devil's advocate here, but I mean, I don't think it's time to push the panic button, for heaven's sake.
No, I mean, but if you come in and you look at it, the standard for Southern Miss was the host this year. They had a team that was capable of doing that. You lose game one to Rice in the series that you really needed to sweep. You have a chance to win that series at Louisiana Tech, and you just give it up there on the very last pitch. I mean, it's just things haven't bounced their way at times. They're oh so close to being in position to host, and winning a lot of these midweek games would have really helped that case against the teams like South Alabama. You lost to them three times. They've just been really snake bit in the midweek other than maybe that Alabama game. What we're looking at is the big picture, and if they can't consistently play well against teams like Southeastern, you're in danger of losing to a three seed on the first day of a regional, or losing, say, game one of the Conference USA tournament, which I don't think will happen. Southern Miss to get the pitching and get through that, but it's got to get better for Southern Miss if they're going to hope for a postseason run.
Well, I just think it's kind of, you know, like Rodney Dangerfield, you say, what a crowd. This is a tough crowd, you know, to make everybody happy. And you got all those, what do you call them, Luke, keyboard warriors out there saying.
Yeah, the keyboard warrior today on the Eagle Post, where all ignorance goes to live and dwell, wanted Scott Barry getting fired. I mean, really? How disconnected from reality are you to make that question? Sorry, Kelly.
No. And if you're going to go based on that, shouldn't Will Hall be fired? He has not won a single game.
That's exactly right.
I mean, it's stupid to talk about firing Scott. But I mean, it's always dumb. I mean, people overreact to midweek games. Yeah, this is a particularly frustrating season in terms of midweek because they just haven't won those games. And you don't get that many opportunities. But just Eagle Post, I mean, there was so much garbage put out there during the coaching search last year. I mean, nobody had a clue what was going on. But, Eagle, you know, just don't listen to those people.
All right, so I want to ask you further about that, Patrick, since we've opened up the social media stuff. How has the emergence of social media changed the way that you have done your job, if at all?
Well, it's not supposed to change how I do my job at all, and it has only to an extent. I think the biggest thing is there's just so much information out there. If anything, I think it's hurting the message boards these days, just because there's so much, everybody felt like they were part of the club on, the rival sites and scout sites. Now they can go on Twitter or Facebook and they can kind of have that discussion. And you know, every time a kid commits, you know, it's on Twitter. So it's there's just so much information out there, and it's tough to navigate and try to find out and write stuff that really kind of people want to read about, want to engage, and pay subscriptions for. So it's difficult, but I mean it doesn't really change the big picture of how I do my job.
But if you had a percentage, if you had to put a percentage on the things that you saw on social media that were actually true, what percentage would you lay it on?
Oh, pretty small. I mean, you take it for what it is. You try to confirm just like you would any other thing. But I mean, sites like Eagle or Facebook pages like Eagle Post, I mean, there's like very little, you know, reliable information on that site.
Go ahead. Look, I was just going to say that's got to be tough, you know, sorting through what's real and what's not.
Proverbs says that a fool gives full vent to his spirits. I don't want to be a fool, so I will not mention Eagle Post again. Patrick, a couple minutes left. Matt Wallner last night for the Cedar Rapids Colonels. Two bombs, six RBIs, already had a double in his first at-bat earlier in the week. It's kind of what the Twins expected to see out of him, taking a little longer, but good to see Wallner break out last night.
Yeah, it's getting pretty obvious. He's about to be at the double A level, maybe a mid-season deal. They might move him up to double A. You know, it's kind of an interesting deal where last season was basically a wash. So what's frustrating for me is if he was, you know, Wallner's next step is double A, and last year that was Pensacola, would have been Pensacola. Now the double A franchise for the Twins has moved elsewhere. It's not even in the Southern League anymore. I think it's in Texas or something. I don't know, but we would have been able to see a lot of Matt Wallner in Biloxi, but unfortunately, he'll be somewhere else.
Yeah, and Kurt McCarty had a good appearance earlier in the week. J.C. Keys came out. I mean, that list now is pretty short. I think it's like seven guys when you Chucky Robinson, Cody Carroll, and some of those guys. That kind of surprised you, Patrick, that as good as Southern Miss has been the last 10 years, only six or seven guys still in the minors?
Well, I think it's a result of the shrinking of the minors and how many of the lower teams, the rookie leagues, the A-balls, a lot of those teams just went away. I think that's probably going to be happening in the future even more in the next 10 years. You'll see the minor leagues got just a little bit too big, and there's just not as many opportunities out there to play professional baseball in affiliation with a major league team anymore. Not as many. So it's if you get the opportunity, if you're Chucky Robinson or Kirk McCarty, to come back off a season when there was no baseball, it's just great to still be playing baseball. But it's frustrating, I'm sure, for a lot of guys that just aren't as many opportunities out there as there used to be.
All right, real quick, prediction for this weekend. Eagles will win how many games?
I'll put it at 3 if trend holds. Certainly a series that they could potentially sweep, but I think they've won 3 fairly.
All right, Patrick, thanks for your time, man. Have a great weekend.
All right, y'all too.
Patrick McGee of the Biloxi Sun-Herald. Hey, we're doing e-gaming on the Eagle Hour coming up. It's going to be fun. It's going to be good. You're going to learn something. I will, too. Stick with us on the Eagle Hour.
Southern Miss to the top.
This segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by 4th Street Bar and Grill, one of my favorite places to hang out. It's right in the shadow of the Rock M.M. Roberts Stadium across the 49 Bridge on 4th Street. Always have a conference USA TV going on there with, in fact, the game last night, Southeastern Louisiana and Southern Miss was on. All the great Southern Miss stuff hanging on the walls. They've got trivia going on occasionally. Great place to shoot pool, just hang out with friends and have a good time. It is the pre-gaming spot, 4th Street Bar and Grill, home of the 895 lunch. Tomorrow it's Catfish Friday, so swing by and enjoy everything at 4th Street Bar and Grill. Southern Miss fans always are on board when there are teams wearing Southern Miss colors that are doing things at the national level. And believe it or not, there are such teams. And you're thinking, okay, football's not playing. Baseball's current. We know what's going on with them. The basketball season's over. I am talking about two e-gaming teams And for those of you who aren't hip like me, e-gaming is electronic games. Yes, video games has come to college athletics, and Southern Miss has two of the best teams in the country at two particular formats. We're going to talk about that now with Dr. Denny Buberg. He's in his fourth year at Southern Miss, came over from to Hattiesburg from Austin, Texas, where he was at UT. Right now he's the Vice President of Student Affairs and the coach. Yes, there's an e-gaming coach, ladies and gentlemen, at Southern Miss. He's a graduate of Pearl River Central High School. Jonathan Haig is a student at Southern Miss, but also the coach. We welcome you guys. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Hey, Denny, and we when we talked prior to the show, everybody kind of snickers when you say that, esports is,
absolutely.
Is a big sport.
Absolutely.
How do you react to that?
Well, it doesn't surprise me. Because I'm from that Generation X that started out on Atari, first generation Nintendo, that sort of thing. But right now, us sitting here talking, there's about 450 colleges around the country that have some level of esports programming. And that's everything from campus tournaments to full-on scholarship, full varsity teams, and everything in between. It has been around for about 3 years, and it's just really exploding on the college scene.
So now, just as bass fishing came around about 5 years ago, and people were saying, that's the sport for me, now esports, and I would imagine where the pandemic has been obviously awful in many senses for this country, I would imagine the pandemic helped e-gaming explode.
It did, actually. The electronic sports community was one of maybe a handful of activities or endeavors on the collegiate landscape that was actually able to persevere and for the most part stay active over the course of the timeout due to the pandemic. Our guys and young women were one example. A lot of their tournament play can be remote. And so we were able to enter some of our first tournaments last spring in the middle of the pandemic and actually placed very well. Our teams all placed in the top five of their respective games that competed.
So, Dr. Denny Buberg, one of the things that other athletes look at is facilities. Oh, they got a great field house. This stadium is great. Actually, there are plans in the work and developing as we speak something called the Arena in the Union at Southern Miss, which will kind of be the home, so to speak, for the esports teams.
Well, we do have renderings for a esports community space and an esports competitive arena space. It will be multidisciplinary and multifaceted once we're able to get it going. Without getting too knee-deep in the weeds, we're doing a lot of the preliminary work right now before actually being able to bust walls out and things of that nature. And so that's kind of where we are, working our way through those preliminary steps, and hopefully sometime in the very near future we'll be able to actually have some folks in there getting some walls up.
Now Jonathan Haig, we talked about a couple of the teams at Southern Miss that are doing very well at the national level. Fill in some blanks for us.
So right now we have two teams that went to the postseason. That was the Overwatch team, which is just a 5v5 game mode with multiple maps, and you just basically head-on fight each other until one team gives, and Rocket League, which is better or less soccer with cars.
Okay, so it's, they're obviously both video games. And there is a league that the Southern Miss teams are in. Tell us about the league.
Right now we're in,
It's the National Esports Collegiate Conference. It's a conglomeration of about 90 schools right now.
So the NECAA or what?
NECC.
NECC.
And we're also part of NACE, the National Association of Collegiate Esports.
And there is a national tournament, and two of those formats you talked about have made it to the national finals.
Yeah. Well, we didn't make it to the finals. They both made it to the postseason. Rocket League to get knocked out in the first game of the postseason, and Overwatch to the third game into the semifinals.
So as a student from Pearl River Central, how do you wind up being the coach now of the esports team at Southern Miss? Teams, I should say.
I'm going to tell you, I honestly walked into the Union one day and saw this brand new club I hadn't seen before sitting right there between the hallway that leads from the FAD to the Union. And it drew my interest. I signed a piece of paper. They had a meeting day for tryouts. I was like, I think I'm good enough at the game to try out. And then they were talking about, does anyone here have experience replay or reviewing replays and helping people get better? I'm like, kind of stood up and like, I have experience doing that. And they're like, come on. They started the signing process, basically like just finding out something at the ground level, and they need people. And overall, it's just been a great experience so far.
And just like any other quote-unquote sport, there is a recruiting process. Where do you find – because I would think everybody these days, Denny Bubrig, plays esports.
Well, there is. There's a lot more than you would realize. As a result of the memberships that I mentioned to you earlier, we have been active in combine events, so one in Indiana, one down here in the Southeast. We have recruit databases that we pull names from. And then actually students are starting to reach out to us. I've been on the phone with potential students for Southern and Southern Esports from Oregon, from Nebraska, from Las Vegas, Nevada. We're attracting attention from all over the country.
So, and some schools now across the country are, as you mentioned briefly, but let's talk some more about that, are actually scholarshipping some e-players, yes?
That is correct. And it varies based on institution to institution. Some have parcels, some have just player scholarships, and then others have full rides, very similar to what you would see from the traditional sports.
So the different formats that Jonathan was talking about, I kind of joked off the air, well, I could maybe compete in Tiger Woods. That's about the only game that I know. But there are actually incorporating other sports. There are some formats that you could play sports. I think FIFA was one of them, the soccer, right?
FIFA, NBA, Madden.
2K, Madden. There's a litany of about 20 games-ish right now that are actually actively competitive on the collegiate landscape.
Now, I would wonder, I would think that that there would be patent issues and copyright issues and things like this when you're dealing with somebody else's software. How does all that work or incorporate?
Well, it's a licensing set up. Each individual player typically carries their own license for the game, and or the institution carries a license for the game, and so you log in through those licenses.
So, Jonathan, as you were growing up, what was your best game that you were good at?
All the way up until out of high school, I've played Call of Duty throughout so much of my life, and that's actually one of the five programs we have here as like our varsity level. That's who competes nationally. We have Rocket League, we have Rainbow Six, we have Overwatch, League of Legends, and Call of Duty. So,
no,
these games...
No Pong?
No Pong.
That's the one that I started out on back in 1800.
And I sat there and played that all the way up until getting out of high school, and now I got into Rocket League closer to the end of that, and then went to college and found a team.
Will there be any more formats that you guys will add potentially later on?
Possibly in the fall, we are considering adding a title by the name of Valorant in the fall. But we just play it by ear. Usually we go based on student interest and student outreach as to what we'll do. We actually had a sixth game when we initially launched. But the groundswell didn't materialize, and so we dropped it.
So the program at Southern Miss is what, third year? You said something.
No, we're actually only about 18 months old.
Oh wow, okay. Yeah. So you're just getting started.
Just getting started.
And I have to ask you, Dr. Denny Bubrig, you had to sell this to the entire university administration.
We all sell right. this to anybody that will listen.
But I mean, did honestly you get laughed at when you said to the upper brass at Southern Miss, we need to implement esports?
Oh, we didn't get laughed at. Everybody was very receptive. But I mean, of course, you have to prove that you will be a value add to the institution. And with some of the things that we're seeing from our peers around the country, it was very easy to prove. At that point.
Amazing. Amazing, and especially for me because I have officially become my dad. You know, this esports now at the varsity level at Southern Miss, and the two teams again that did really well and to make it to postseason?
Were Overwatch and Rocket League.
Okay, now, and there were five members on which team?
Overwatch is a 5v5 game mode, so it's five people. It's a first-person shooter style, kind of like Call of Duty.
And oh, yeah, first-person shooter. And the other one was how many?
3v3, and it's just soccer with cars.
Okay, really. And are there overlaps? I mean, are there like, you play on several different teams or, you know, separate members for separate teams?
There is that possibility, but we try and discourage that. I mean, because they are there to get their degree, and they are there to achieve academically and get on. So we want them to try and we want them to focus on that, but still be able to play.
Well, we salute the eSport teams at Southern Miss making headlines at the national level. So don't say that the Eagles don't compete at the national level, because the eSports teams do. Thank you, Dr. Denny Bubrig and Jonathan Haig, for being our guests. And anytime the eSports teams are rocking, we want to know about it.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thanks again. We'll take a commercial break and wrap up the Eagle Hour after we burn this time out.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Final segment on this Thursday brought to you by DBAT and D1 Training. Hardy Street in Hattiesburg can speak for it myself. Excellent facilities, and it is the genuine, authentic home of the Luke Johnson 5240. DBAT and D1 Training, located in Hattiesburg, proud sponsor of the Eagle Hour. Southern Miss and Louisiana, or Southeastern Louisiana, the only game in Conference USA last night. The Eagles drop a 5-3 decision. Middle Tennessee coming in this weekend. Raiders are 21-21-1 overall, 10-13-1 in Conference USA. If you look at the lineups for the weekend, the pitching rotations, Middle Tennessee is going to throw two lefties, one tomorrow, Trent Seibert, and then on Sunday, Peyton Wigginton, two right-handers in the middle for the Saturday doubleheader. We'll talk more about Middle Tennessee tomorrow on the Eagle Hour. Luke and Kelly and Brandon from the First Bank Studios in Hattiesburg and beautiful downtown Laurel. Kelly, interesting, Albert Pujols, who growing up, man, you're just one of those guys. He just turned 41, but one of the sensational sluggers all time in Major League history. He sits right now currently fifth all time in home runs with a 667, past Willie Mays right at the end of the regular season. All time 667 home runs, a career batting average of .298. Obviously, a first ballot Hall of Famer. He will be designated for assignment today. And it's, you know, it's just kind of one of those days where you don't know if somebody's going to pick him up, if somebody will pick him up, you know, kind of DH to make a run. He's only hitting like .192 this year, but it's always a day like this. I guess it's a day, me, for the pulled hamstring, like, oh, wow, mortality. Ah, I'm getting old. But, you know, when a guy that you've kind of watched your entire life play baseball and he's about to retire, it just, you know, as a sports fan, it's kind of moving in some sense to watch these guys go and into the horizon with the sunset.
And I think the reason that it is moving is because we do come to grips with our own mortality, that nobody's getting out of here alive. And Major League Baseball is learning that 10-year contracts don't work. They might work the first 2 or 3 years, but when you have to pay huge amounts of money to a 41-year-old guy who, by Major League standards, is not performing for very well, it's not good for anybody. You know, Miguel Cabrera with the Tigers is, you know, toward the end of his 10-year contract, but they've been paying him gazillions of dollars to underperform. It's just, unfortunately, it's what have you done for me lately? And, you know, we joked about the old gray mare just ain't what he used to be, but it doesn't matter. You know, as you get older, you can't do the things that the younger guys are doing, and things have to come to an end. But Luke, feel good in the sense that Pujols will never have to worry about where his next meal comes from. I think he's done pretty well. And I want to know if D1 is going to actually hang that sign up, home of the Luke Johnson 5240. Is that going to bring them extra business, probably?
I'm sure Catherine Maloney will throw me a bone. Well, we can work that.
And there's always e-gaming for you, Luke. There's always e-sports.
Yeah, there's always there. I have to work the thumbs out and stretch. And
right.
There actually is surfacing on the black web right now. It's going to be released later today. There's actually a hype video, firsthand ground zero footage of that 40 yesterday. It's been doctored by Brandon some, Kelly Santer with the soundtrack background, Bob Getty providing clutter and laughter towards the end. But the laser don't lie. Okay, so what we should have done to celebrate yesterday, and this would have been my one question for the e-gamers as I was listening. We should have got up and started singing Southern Mississippi to the top. So my question is, when they beat the other team in Overwatch or Rocket League, do they stand up like on their leather chair, throw their Xbox remote and start singing to the top, to the top? So lift your voices high, show them the reason why the Southern spirit never stops. Fight, fight. I just wonder if they do that, because that would take e-gaming to a whole nother level.
Actually, Luke, I know the answer to that. They don't sing it. They text it.
Snapchat it.
Yes, it's on their Instagram
and,
yeah,
stories.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
My face
or whatever it is.
Oh, MySpace has been
and
outdated.
We will fight to victory. No, hear our battle cry. Yeah,
it's my face. Like, no, my
smash
Facebook.
Oh, Facebook or
controller
or, huh?
Yeah.
Or my
MySpace.
Okay,
Facegram. InstaChat.
Oh. Yeah, all that.
That's what it is.
All that. So,
you know, my grandfather thought of Facebook was a family photo album. Anyway, we won't whine about social
Luke,
media.
What people will really appreciate about your video at D1 yesterday is that Luke is a big man. He's a big boy, a big old boy, as they say. And for him to be able to carry that as fast as he did across the line, it really is impressive. Paying the price today, but well done, young fella.
Gonna go home, and I think Lauren's got some frozen peas or carrots or green beans or something, and I'm gonna prop it under the old hamstring. And you know what? I may get on YouTube and watch the 2003 TCU game or the Cal game.
Oh, he's
I probably ran faster than a 5.2. I couldn't catch
he's
the dude, but
living in
yeah,
the past.
Go relive the glory days this afternoon.
Living
yeah.
in the past.
Well, great show today. Hey, we're going to be live at Ramey Motors tomorrow in Purvis. Bob will be back. Kelly and I will be down there. Come see us if you're in the neighborhood. Buy something awesome at Ramey Motors. Appreciate everybody joining us today. And as always, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle. Let my spirit carry.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.